Welcome to the Productivity Mastery Podcast, presented to you by myself, Stoyan Yankov, productivity and performance coach, keynote and TEDx speaker, and co-author of the Perform Methodology, and the book Perform, the Unsexy Truth About Startup Success. Join me on a journey to discover what some of the world's leading professionals do to be more productive, create peak performing teams, and build successful global companies. New episodes weekly. And now, enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Productivity Mastery. Another week, another exceptional guest with me today. Martin, how are you? How are you doing on a Friday?
Thanks so much. Happy Friday to everyone. And Stoyan, thanks for already pushing in the last energy before the weekend. I'm doing great. I just come from a run. Listen to your last episode. To everyone who missed it, listen to it. It made my speed of running dramatically faster. I got so excited and looking forward. It's a great pleasure to be here. Thanks, Stoyan.
Dr. James Arthur Williams, that's the episode that you're referring to, my good friend from Tennessee. And today we have another friend, but not from behind the ocean, or what do you call it? Actually, much closer, friend from Austria. I do believe we met for the first time at the 15 Seconds Conference. Am I right?
Yeah, I think, or at We Accelerate, the Innovation Network in Vienna. I think one of those two stages it was.
Yeah, I think so. And we've been in touch, and Martin has been quite active on LinkedIn, I would say, posting a lot of valuable content on the one side, but also one of these people that is always trying to contribute positively. Like, he's going to share a comment to your post, which is really positive. He'll ask you how you're feeling. Do you need any introductions? And last summer, we got a chance to hang out and spend some time together in Vienna. And here we are, Martin. So tell me what's going on your side.
Yeah, thanks so much. I think making a change is basically what drives me since I'm a very, very little boy already. I always had that feeling, why not make it better, or why not try to make a difference? Yeah, and it took me 20 years in profession until I came to the point that I would call it Visible Leader. And every day I doubt, is it the right name? Is it the right thing? But at the end, for me, it's about amplifying good things. We live in a time where we have geopolitical challenges en masse. We have climate change. We have, in the business environment, so much pressure on middle management, on employees. And on the other hand, we have this new work promise that everything comes better. And I truly believe that we need to turn the good things louder. And Stoyan, since we met, I had the feeling, I remember you gave a speech and made a live meditation in the middle of a very conservative crowd. And I was so impressed and thought, how cool is that? This guy has a bag. And that's what I'd like to amplify with a comment, with a post, with Visible Leader, with whatever. I really believe all these cool things are out there. And if we look on that, you know, it's easier to adapt to whatever challenge is ahead or whatever change we are facing.
Tell me about the Visible Leader. I'm sure people listening would be asking themselves, what is a visible leader? How would you define it?
Yeah, I think there is no absolute term. Yeah, so this is something I try to set up in a framework. And I believe there are two important aspects of a visible leader. The one is, you have a topic that matters and you really try to contribute to that. Now, I look at the logo here, Productivity Mastery, I guess what it is for you. Huh? I think it's important that people have the chance to live that every day and contribute to that, because I know if you're a productivity guy or girl, then you have to talk about it every day. You see the world through that lens. And I call that positive egoism. So I think a visible leader has to demand to make this impact on one way or another. And there's not always time to do that and prioritize that, because challenges are in daily life very common. But As a visible leader, you try to take leadership and you make something out of what you have around. And visible leaders used their reach with and their visibility to make that massive, to make it stronger. Because like you, I think we have that in common. I like things that really make a deep impact and that go beyond, like think a bit bigger. And there are a lot of visible leaders out there. I'm currently interviewing a couple of them here in Austria. And there are so many great people who really stand up, and they are never called self-marketers. And that's the interesting thing. Here in Middle Europe, we have this culture of don't talk too loud about yourself. And I think as long as you contribute to something better, as long as you try to share and give something, you cannot be loud enough. The problem is, this takes a lot from our personality. And I'm working 20 years as leadership and transformation expert. And what I found out after 10 years is it's always the same questions. What are you afraid of? What motivates you? How do you deal with challenges? How do you deal with conflict? And that made me go to university again, make 1,000 hours of psychological coaching with people, because I had that feeling. It's not only writing nice posts and making good marketing. It's about having the personality and the inner leadership, the approach to the world, that you can be generous. I think you talk about abundance mindset. I heard that yesterday. And that's the other way around. I experience so much generosity at all these big people. Everyone who found a topic that matter is eager to share all the details with you.
And look, I'm a full-time speaker, consultant, coach. For me, putting myself out there, sharing, talking about the topics that matter is a little bit more natural. But from what I understand, you also work with a lot of people who are not full-time in this type of area, right? That people who are working for companies, you know, corporate executives, managers. Can you give me a bit of an idea who can be a visible leader?
Mm-hmm. I think the impact of visible leadership is on three layers. You have this organizational ecosystem aspect. This would be your company. Here I work with founders, with startup, you know, like investment corporations that have a look on what does it take to make that past a very good known idea. Yeah, and there is a lot of sustainability movement going on. There's a lot in terms of technology going on. So here you have this, a marketing agency is not enough. You need to go to the core of why are we doing that? And how are we doing that? And how do we impersonate that every day as founder and as well to my team? And that's the next layer is the leadership. So if you have visible leaders in your leadership, they give you stability, they give you innovation, they give you performance. Why? Because if you're visible as a leader, you're present, that gives you safety. On the other hand, you give transparency, and that is highly connected to fairness. And fairness is such an important driver when we talk about leadership efficiency. And then on the third level, we have the employees. How do I perceive being here? And that's the whole culture topic. The experiences you make in the company shape how you are. And I told you before, there are companies that put marketing money on the table and say, you're a smart expert in big data. Why not put our advertising money on you and on your career and on your contacts to journalists and not in a classical marketing channel? And this sounds so simple. It is so simple. And this is enormous for talents, because if you want to grow, if you are ambitious, and if you want to be the best in your class, I guess that's what you want to have as employee, then you will go to someone who invests in you and who sees that potential in you. And there are great examples out there. I again think we just need to make them a bit louder.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, let's maybe start from the executive layer. You do a lot of one-on-one sessions, I know, with people also at that seniority level. What do you find are their biggest challenges? Also with respect to becoming a visible leader, being a visible leader.
Yeah, I think like I was coaching and mentoring C-level executives and initiative leaders the last 15 years. I will not claim everything here to be visible leader. That would be not quite true. But one essential I found out working with global brand managers, people who are responsible for 50 countries in the world, is that at the end, their strategic approach, the first initial step towards whatever initiative they do, is either based on the need of security. I need to stabilize something. I need to make sure, sorry for the word, I don't mess it up. Yeah, or I need to make sure that we keep everything calm and on running. And that might be a good strategy. I'm not labeling that. And then there is the other opportunity where it's about excitement, something to build, that you build a legacy, that, you know, saying very straightforward, that is good on your reputation, on the CV for the next opportunity you have. And I found out knowing just the simple motive of my key stakeholders changed the way I could interact with them, because it's a different strategy if, you know, safety comes first, or if innovation and, you know, proudness comes first. And I think there are different situations in the business world where you need either or. And that made me curious. Having these conversations, I found out that it's 80% about the personality that you're working with and 20% about the topic. And I worked on Internet of Things projects. I worked on a global project for the digitalization of a company that you all know. And it's always about, do the people believe this change? Do the people really buy into that? Are they willing to put their own hands into that new materia? And that's working with people. And at the end, when you talk to founders, when you talk to top management leaders, they are very aware of the impact they have with very small decisions. And the really good leaders take little decisions. And you see that it's important to be wise of what do you need to decide as a leader, and what is the decision of your team, and how can you contribute to them, and how can you help them? And here we close the loop to visible leader. You need to share your knowledge. You need to put it all on the table. And in many service industries, I hear there's the secret sauce and you have to hold that back. I truly don't believe that this is still an appropriate way to go, because knowledge is accessible all over the world. I think what you can share is your own perspective, and that makes it relatable, that makes it more valuable. And that's tough, because a lot of these management positions were raised, conditioned, and trained in a very different way, where you play a power card, where you come from a strong, you know, superiority. And that's different. As a marketer, a brand is boring if it's not having a contradiction or a vulnerability. And now you have to think about, what do you share, Stoyan, that is contradictive or that is, you know, vulnerable? Because that makes a brand interesting. If you're just the flat, this is productivity and there is no Stoyan component in it, it will be just more of the same and people would not attach to it. And I think working on the top management here, this is the most important aspect, to really dismantle what belief systems can you help, you know, to make more impact, and what belief system sometimes stand in your way. Yeah. And that comes long before writing a post. I'm not helping leaders to write social media posts. There are great agencies out there. There are great content writers out there. There are great in-house teams in there. And I think it's their job. What I usually just recommend is put a camera on it. There are so many great things in a company happening. Just put a camera on it and then think about what content can that become for your talent acquisition, for your innovation, you know, for your culture. There are so many good things in a lot of companies, and people don't put that in the focus because they think it's not professional. It's just us. Yeah. But that's what people are interested in, because it has flaws, because it's not perfect. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you know what it makes me think is probably one of the first things that you do is to assess how much the person in front of you is really themselves. And it could be really difficult you know, in such a world and joining a company and joining a culture that might be different than who you are, but to remain who you are and to understand who you are and to make decisions from what really you believe is the right thing. I guess that's what you're starting these conversations with.
Yeah, I think it's less about analyzing. For that, there are psychologists who have great tests and formats for that. It's much more about listening. And there is this very simple mechanic when we talk about a topic that really matters. So what's the one thing that you're interested in? And if we take productivity, it could be different angles. It could be someone likes productivity because he likes to be, you know, understanding the world. Then it's about knowledge and mechanisms and how dynamics works out. And it can be that you want to be just more efficient so you have more time for enjoying the world. And these are very polaric statements, and both of them are valid. This is the flavor you need in your positioning to be persistent, interesting for people. Yeah, and you can try to copy if someone is similar to you, but then it will miss the details. And I think that's the interesting aspect. Brands and people don't become relevant if they don't have a contradiction or a relevance. There's a 60-year study on global brands from Young and Ruby came out there that realized when brands change these attributes, because I don't know, now it's hip to be sustainable, or now it's hip to be a coffee house, yeah, then the brands erode within 5 to 10 years. And for people, it goes much faster. So the moment you say, wow, I need to wear, I don't know, hoodies and be someone else or a suit, people realize that, and this disconnect is immediately make you in the beginning shocking, and then it falls down, not interesting anymore. And this is something I think people need to understand how the brain works to not put the ego on that. And like if we have, you know, biases that we all have, we have to accept it takes 6 to 9 months until we lose them. So if you feel ashamed today going on a stage, that will not change from one day to another, but there are 50 other ways of making an influence. And I always say the minimum impact, the minimum visibility that has a lot of impact is going happy and as yourself into the work. And that's something that people completely undervalue, especially in leadership. Everybody has 60 hours, 80 hours. We get up at 4 in the morning to be highly productive. I don't mean that bad. But presence and feeling good while you are in your company has a major impact on the performance and how people feel. And that's something I always forget, and I guess a lot of other people forget as well. So it's nothing where I try to preach someone, I think, or analyze someone. I think you just need to listen to the people. And one aspect is, how much time do you have in your calendar to be creative? Yeah? Another aspect is, when we talk about the topic that really matters to you, and this is something that is especially for young people very hard, because you get lightened fast and then you jump into that and then you read all the books. I always search for the change promise. Like, what is the thing you want to change in the industry, in the society? And if that's not clear, then you really have to dig a lot deeper to really go out with that. Yeah? Because if I just say, hey, I'm here, I'm the expert in, I don't know, project management, and I have no mission to change something in the world, then I cannot generate value. And with that, you should not be loud. You should be careful on that point. This is a very essential aspect. Value screen, what is your thing? That's all fine. But there needs to be a change promise. Otherwise, it's hard to be a thought leader. And if we drill deeper, I'm sorry for being so taking, but there is my passion at home. There is a pain inside ourselves why we want that change. And we don't have to share that. That doesn't have to be part of a LinkedIn post. But if I don't know that, for me, I don't know, having things under control is important because I grew up in a family environment where nothing was under control, then I left behind 85% of the emotional and the energy potential I have in me. And I think that's something we need to learn in management to face these conversations, and it's not about healing. It's not even about dismantling it. It's just about making an awareness on that. If you find that topic with that pain, your eyes will shine like crazy and you cannot shut up to talk about that. And if you are an introvert, you will write about it, you will think about it. And that's simple as that. And everyone out there who's taking a position and at the moment says, this is my topic, ask yourself these two questions. What is your angle? Yeah, like, why is it project management, big data, experience management, innovation, whatever it is? And then on the other side, what does that have to do with you? Really honestly. Because there is a reason why we like structures, or there is a reason why we like chaos, or there is a reason why we like safety or excitement. And I highly advocate to use that as your power supply, because once you know that, it's easy to motivate yourself on a shitty day. It's easy to, you know, jump over your ego, your fear, whatever, because, you know, at the end, I've been at a different place, and it doesn't have always to be a negative thing. Yeah? Sometimes you get everything, and that is very painful because you have the feeling you cannot earn something. So, you see, it's a bit about psychology, but it's not about healing or therapy. It's not even about analysis. I just try to help the people to make their topic really relevant for them. And once you have that, the post writes itself, the video writes itself. This is learning and technique, but that's not the energy supply. And having that topic that matters make you realize this is nothing new. I do that since 30 years. I did that in school, I did that there, and then all of a moment, the chaos CV that you might or might not have, or the well-structured CV, make a lot of sense looking back, having that topic. And I think this gives you confidence, stability, and that positive outlook that you need to lead others.
And I'm just reflecting now, if you think about some of the loudest, the most popular thought leaders that you see over and over again that people resonate with. I mean, thinking about two of them, Gary Vaynerchuk, Alex Cormozzi. If you think about it, they're quite different. They're quite unique in a way. They have some shortcomings. They dress a certain way, if you think about it. I mean, look at the Alex Cormozzi with the hat, with this big hair, you know, hairy chest, with this kind of shirts, and you know, even the type of content he's posting, it's very raw in many ways. Like, there was a video I watched the other day. He was drinking a Coca-Cola, and he's drinking it, and he says, prior to going on stage to deliver a keynote, I love to get a, you know, Coca-Cola. I know people will say it's not healthy, but you know what? I'm usually really healthy, and this is really something that gives me this boost. It makes me happy. So yes, unpopular opinion, I love to drink my Coke. And people love that because everybody's trying to be perfect and to look perfect. And when you see somebody that's like, nope, it's just me, you know, I don't have hobbies, these guys say, right? I just, okay, maybe you don't resonate with him, but you're like, you know what? This guy's himself. I respect that.
Yeah, I think from a psychological perspective, we always search for similarities and differences. No? And the more profile you get and the more authentic this profile is, that means we don't only listen to the words. We have the full perception of body language, and there is the authenticity at home. Then it stimulates our brain. So you think, would I do that? Would I not do that? Do I have a judgment on that? And that all happens in like a break time of a second in your brain. And if you fake that, if you try to be him tomorrow, people will not buy it, and they will probably not connect, despite you have the same personality or same, you know, aspects of your character that you can contribute in that. And that's the interesting thing. It's a lot of experimentation and trying out. And I think even if you are a visible leader, because we talk a lot about the begin and the start, yeah? But as well, if you have a certain audience, like 5 years back, Stoyan, where did you feel you are, and like, did you learn a lot in the last 5 years?
Absolutely, man. And actually, one of the thing that I, one of the best things that I've learned is exactly what you shared a few minutes ago, that people don't want you to be perfect. People want you to be you, right? Because when I started my journey as a speaker, as a consultant, as a coach, I was very inspired by all these speakers like Tony Robbins and Les Brown and, you know, many speakers. And I'll try to be like them. I'll try to copy them subconsciously. And then at some point, I don't know, somewhere along the journey, I realized I need to be more of me. I need to show up with my energy. I need to share my stories. I need to discover what are my strengths, also what are my weaknesses, and own them. And instead of showing up with trying to play the game of these incredible speakers, trying to be like them, I need to be me. And some people will not like it. But those who do, they'll be real. It's just when you wake up in the morning, you feel good about yourself because you just showed up like you. You made decisions like you. You know, even with the podcast, if you listen to the first few episodes, I had some listeners reaching out and sharing, man, I love that you are, you know, sharing your struggles and being more and more real. I think I still have a long way to go, but initially I just tried to make everything look great and, you know, oh, I have all these habits and you have to do this and sharing a lot of good things. But, you know, the more you say, hey, you know what? It's Friday. I had a really long week, man. For real. Like it's been a long and difficult week. I'm a little bit tired right now. I have a bunch of things I have to do this weekend. I haven't finished, you know, the productivity coach haven't finished his stuff during the week. I mean, we're human, man. And the more you show up like this, the more you see people like, hey, you know what? This guy's real, man. You know? So,
yeah, absolutely. I think this authenticity topic is so hard to grasp, yeah, because it's so much inner work and not a lot of outer work. But I have one exercise that I'd like to recommend if you feel what Stoyan just said resonates with you. Yeah, I call this the style test. And I do that when I meet people newly, and they usually come to me with an imagination, this will be my super brand, or this will be, yeah. And not everyone does that, obviously, but that might happen. Yeah. And I'm always curious on what is Stoyan doing without talking. So when I met Stoyan last year, I think it was in Vienna, we sat together with two great, great companies of him. And I realized, first of all, he's never putting himself first. He's a great host, very, very gentle. He gives a lot of space in the room. Yeah. And if I would now very simply put a brand for Stoyan, yeah, this would be the briefing for a graphic designer. And that's like, if you have, you know, a bit of connection to reading the room or to feeling the energy, and I guess there are a lot of empathic people out there, then do that. And write that down, these five words that you have in mind. I give you another example. I'm pretty much the opposite. It's hard to stand still in a room with me because I'm filled of energy and I love to throw it at people and I love to, you know, thought provoke. So it's very hard for me to be like Stoyan or that part of Stoyan that I just described. And knowing that gives me a complete different way of entering a room, because I know when I enter that room, I need people to have, you know, a certain attention and a certain acceptance. And if they feel vulnerable, it might be hard for them to be in that room when I work. Yeah. And obviously there is modulation and I can take myself a bit down, but deep in me, when I'm there, I will put energy in the room. I will, you know, initiate conversations and thoughts and doing something. And knowing that helped me a lot to define who I want to be professional. And I advise everyone who's searching for a brand, or, you know, it's not about the perfection of your banner. And I think 95% of the really, really successful people I met, multi-billion dollar investment people, they don't give a shit about most of the details. Like, I recently heard, I still have the same podcast logo since 10 years, and it's the most listened podcast in my home country, and I never changed it. And I did it overnight in Photoshop myself. Yeah, and that's something, there are excellent leaders out there as well, so I don't want to make the two representatives, but that happens a lot when you talk to founders, to innovators, to people who change the society, that you just do it. It's not the perfection of, is this picture perfect? It's, does that fit to who I am right now? And I think that's where Visible Leader can help visible leaders in terms of, let's reflect after a while running your course and, you know, setting a certain direction. If there are new key tones on your keyboard that you can play, because I don't know, the last year have been one of the toughest years in 20 years for me. Yeah, even though I had it all.
Why so? Why so?
I had the feeling, I had a very great, great mission in the corporate environment, tackling to bring together 22 locations in the world and, you know, unite them under one experience mission. And it was a really great job. And on the other side, my heart was really loud shouting for, I want to make a change in the world. Yeah, I want to do Visible Leader. And so I did it both for a year. And with all the downsides of high performance, I was tired, you know, had not enough time for my family, had not enough time to be the private person I wanted to be. And that was a willed investment of pain that I give myself from time to time, to be honest. And I know this is not smart, this is deficitary, so I always put the end note on these commitments and say, okay, 3 months, I'm investing that. And then there needs to be a certain gratification program. But this last year changed how I see the world, and it made me a bit more humble, and it made me a bit more, you know, I have now different notes again and again and again. Every year this changes with everything we experience, I think. And looking at the brand I built last year, I found out it's much less about business impact, it's much more about the human beings. And that's the interesting thing. When I started last year with the Visible Leader coachings under that umbrella thought, I thought people will come and say, Martin, make me famous. Martin, how can I be loud on LinkedIn and gain followers? And it was absolutely opposite. We talked about fear, we talked about identity. Like, once I was in the conversation, I found out it's not about content, it's not about tactics, it's about who you are and how you feel with that positioning and getting inner ideas of what you can do. And I make this exercise of, how many stages do you have for your topic that matters? And people always believe it's the big stage, it's the keynote speaker like you do, or it's, you know, the global influencer. But as said, this can be a conversation in your kitchen with someone that you exchange it. And that is influence. And that can be writing something down and sharing it with someone. And no matter how extro or introvert you are, there are hundreds of possibilities to share, to generate value, and to gain visibility. But we don't believe that. Yeah? If you come happy to work, you believe, I just had a great day. Yeah? But what happens to the other people around that see you? That is mostly like a feedback channel that we don't use actively. And at Visible Leader, we define, whose feedback do you want to have in 1 month? And how do we invite them? And is it your target group, the paying customers, or is it the people you want to be role model for? Yeah. Stoyan, who do you want to be role model for?
It's a great question, man. I guess younger people. That's the first intuitive answer that comes to mind.
That's 90%. I hear that. And then I always say, I don't believe that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, go on. Go on. Interesting.
Let me narrow it down a bit. What do you think? Whom could you have the biggest impact on?
That's a different question.
Yeah.
I guess entrepreneurs, founders of global companies.
And why is there a difference between what you want and where you have the impact?
It's a good question, man. I would say both. Both would be places I would like to be a role model at. The reason I give the first answer was the intuition, just the first thing that came to mind. But why not both? I mean,
the interesting thing is, and thank you for your honesty and making that little experiment. The thing is, you will treat the young role models different than the entrepreneurs. And what you can do now as a follow-up is have a look on, if you go to the young role models, I don't know, I talk about myself, I go to the younger people as teacher. Yeah. Mm. And I don't know if that is the same for you. And to older people, I might come more as the consultant. And there's a difference in the generosity, in the patience, in the professionality I put on these two roles. Yeah. And it might be that you put different roles on these two target groups that we talked about as well. And what's now interesting, and I don't have a solution for any client, is experiment with it and having a look on, because there's one thing very clear. If you want to invite people to follow you, you need to give them IKEA step-by-step guidelines. They need to say, this is what I did. Then I did that. Here I did this. And then I did that. And I observed, my wife is teacher, that she has so much more patience than I have and such a different worldview on, you know, how learning works. Yeah. And I really admire that perspective, because sometimes I come with my head through the wall strategy of making an impact. And she just says, that's not going to work like that. Yeah. And if it doesn't work in a class, it doesn't work in a business environment. And I think this is something where I have the feeling we should be aware of whom do we want to invite to follow us. And who are these people? Is it the next generation of keynote speakers, or is it, you know, the next generation of highly productive people that make an impact to the world? Or, and here you can go on, you know, with the thought of train of what's the right thing. I just think this is a very strong impact factor that we often oversee, because it's not common to say, I want to create someone who wants to be like me. Yeah, that sounds weird. We create followers, readers, consumers, buyers. But at the end, when you make a movement, I want a lot of people run around and say, let's amplify the good things in the world. Yeah, and I will share everything I have. And everyone can have the name Visible Leader. I don't care. Yeah, make it loud. If you get that mission, you can have all my tools. If you make it better, I'm super happy to learn from you. And I think, what can that do to your brand when you're now not in you know, personal development or in a very strong empowerment area? Yeah. Think about an accountant who would be aware of, wow, I wanna help people to be as excellent as I am, as sharp, as precise, I don't know, as good connected, as overview. Like, there's a lot of power for people with skills and with expertise. I call this the hidden experts. They have usually high value generation and low visibility, frustrated by the corporate environment, frustrated by bad leadership, frustrated by being the prophet in your own country. And that's something I think we all can rely on. What you need to do here is to build faith in getting louder and sharing that again, this generosity of, okay, I have all the knowledge, all these ideas are for free. They come regularly in my brain. I share them everywhere. And that makes a huge dynamic change, that as an unseen expert, you become a seen expert, acknowledged, you know, invited. And that's something that I really often see as a circle of frustration. When your leadership interferes in a negative way, you're not eager to share your expertise. And then you stop, you know, to share and to contribute. And then you become more quiet. Because that's what we learned in Middle Europe. If you have something valuable, you can be loud. If you are not valuable, you better shut up.
I'm curious, what do we do with people who are high value creators, but not so visible. You mentioned an example in an accountant. Like, is your suggestion that we help them take this leap and start being more open and sharing?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I did not work with an accountant so far, but I was setting up a training for a financial department where I interfered with that thought. And I think it's a very simple process. No matter what job profession a person has, assuming they do it not out of the only financial need or of a crisis where you have to take whatever is there, we got to be very honest. This is all a more white collar, more privileged, you know, appliance here. But if you ask a person, why do you do the job you do and what do you like on it? You normally get answers. And then I just search for the eyes. And when they start to, you know, shine, yeah, this is where you dig deeper. And I talked with people in the financial industry who liked to have the transparency and overview of the world. This is my words here. Yeah. And I met people who loved excellence and said 10,000 rows of data, no mistake. That's satisfying for me. And I met people who said, how cool is that? I, as finance, have contact with every department in our organization. I know it all. I'm very close to the information stream, and that gives me a good feeling. Yeah. These are different angles. And I think they might not become an influencer in the way we define it now on Instagram or on a big stage, but they can contribute by hosting a meetup. They can contribute by sharing that knowledge. They can contribute. I recently had that experience that somebody told me, I love budget processes. And in corporate world, that's something you hardly hear because it's usually a lot of pain and back and forth. And he wanted to share his passion for budgeting processes because for him, it defines the future. And that's an angle that I think is completely worth sharing. So what does it need for experts that are not super outgoing? The possibility and the awareness that they have expertise and that they can share it. And in a corporate environment, you need to invite the people with programs, with leadership, with people who walk the talk. Does that make sense, Dojan?
It absolutely does. And we actually have a comment. I would say a question, but it's actually a comment. And let me just see who is the comment from. I'm going to check it here because it's hidden down here. I'm going to put it on the screen. We have a comment from a user on LinkedIn. He says, love that both of you are on board with the current shift towards a more open, human, and acceptance-based perspective on business models and leadership and even marketing efforts. It's happening, and I'm here for it. Amazing work, making room for this, Dojan. What is your comment on that, Martin?
Ah, great to hear that other people think the same, do the same, make the same. Thanks so much for the feedback. Let's make it happen. I think no matter where you look in experience design, we talk about human-centered design. In the culture bubble where I'm quite active, in the leadership bubble, we talk about human needs and how to utilize them. I think at the end, there is a strong need for focusing on the human need and on the human-centered approaches. And not every organization, not every country, not every environment is ready for that change. And I think what we can do is help them by sharing everything we know about how hard change is and what helps and how we can do that. And for me, marketing is just an instrument to make that impact more. And if somebody is great in art and you paint a picture or you make music, do it. Like, we need all the aspects of the wheel. And I think it's just, especially in business, I have the feeling there are revolutionaries out there. Like, there is Cats the Freeze. I highly recommend to have a look on him. He's a INSEAD leadership expert and psychotherapeut. He makes group counselings with member of boards. There is on YouTube, you find videos of that. And he talks with the wife of a chief innovation officer. And she said he is a bit holding back and he's a bit, you know, tight on money and very conservative. And Cats the Freeze asked him live in front of the other 10 board members, how do you think that fits together with your mission as innovation leader? And I think this question is worth millions of dollars for that company. But it's so uncommon to do that. And I'm not saying this is my style to do it. I just think there are really great examples how impactful psychology can be in business. I work with a partner, Dr. Verena Seibert, nice greetings to her. She is, you know, a consultant for life-death decisions. And it's about oil platforms, and you design a certain knob, and if it's badly made, hundreds of people die, and if it's good made, no one dies. And her optimization rate is, you know, how safe is that in the future? And usually people reach out because it's not safe. So we have all these examples already there. I come from shopper marketing and worked with brands. If you ever went shopping, we saw each other on a brand perspective. Yeah. This is pure psychology. There is a reason why you grab to the product at the cash counter, and you should be aware of that. And there is a reason why, I don't know, parents buy stuff with a lot of honey and with a lot of milk on it and with a lot of, and at the end, it has more calories than a full pack of chips. Yeah. So we have this human center aspects already everywhere embedded. I think it's just important that we use that now to give it a positive impact. And that's happening. And I think everyone who's contributing to that or thinks, I feel that, but I don't know how, or I'm not worth, or I'm not ready. Hear Stoyan and me out, you're ready. Yeah, like,
yes, you are.
Yeah, try it out. And I think we need more people who say that to each other. Yeah. And
that's, by the way, Martin, that's such a good point. I don't know how is not an excuse. It's a mindset. If you work in a company, if you're a manager, if you're a founder, if you're managing people, and if you have the intention to make things more human, more inclusive, more, you know, making people belong into the organization, feeling appreciated, and if you don't know how, that's okay. You figure it out. You just have to start. You gotta try things out. Listen to a podcast. Read a book. Listen to your guts. Experiment. Try things out. Involve your people. Ask them, what do they need? How can you be there for them? Set up one-on-ones. Ask these deeper questions. Get to know them, right? I mean, there's so many things you can do if that's what you want to do. And by the way, that's what we also discussed prior to the podcast. And I'm curious to hear from you. What would be your recommendation to leaders, to managers, in terms of making their employees more visible leaders?
Yeah, I think to the previous part you just said, there are so many ways to gain knowledge these days. Yeah, that I always want to put a warning sign, and you indirectly mentioned it already. You need to do something. You cannot be thought leader. You cannot be initiative leader. You cannot be a leader if you don't do anything. So no matter where you stand on your curve, you need to get your hands dirty. And that means trying, failing, learning over and over again. And I meet a lot of people who tell me that they are, you know, interested in psychological topics, in human-centered topics, and they make a course. And after the course, they hope, I'm ready now. And very often these courses don't have a lot of activity in it and not a lot of, hey, I kick your butt, you have to do something. Yeah. And while I don't want to discredit any course here, it's a great source of knowledge. You really need to make sure that you do it. So if you come to a coaching to me and you say you want to be expert for big data, you're going to write something today. Otherwise, you don't want it to be. And then you will get the feedback. And that will be good, bad, whatever, you know, you will survive that and go through it. But I understand that in corporate environments, it's sometimes very hard to break with patterns that have been there for 5, 10, 50, 100 years, yeah? Like depending on which industry you look. And that takes a lot of courage and safety. And if you don't have that safety, it's a risk all in. And I see people doing that because they believe in their topic that matter when it's about sustainability, when it's about, you know, having the right culture, having a right to stand up. But I see as well a lot of environments where it's hard to stand up. And I have a very simple test when I'm a leader in an organization. if somebody comes with a good idea, I'm willing to invest an hour of my time. And no matter if we have, you know, an order or you know, like any strategic goal behind it, let's invest 1 hour and have a look on it. And in this 1 hour, I build, you know, like one or two reasonable deliverables we can take out of it. Can you write a blog post about it? Can you create a PowerPoint? Can you write down what makes a difference? Can you write down what's your perspective? I don't care. Yeah. And then let's meet again. And once you have that step, it's really just about, and how could the company contribute from that? And there is mostly, in many, many ways, a logical layer. And I'm not talking about someone, I always use that as a polaric example, yoga, but it's about people who say, I want to make data management better. It's people that say, hey, I want us to be more authentic in the way we act in our company. I want us to save money. That's the ideas that come. But they have to come from the individual first. So listen to the people when they come with ideas. Invite them. If you want to be very pushy and you lead an expert team, yeah, set a clear agenda of what's your expertise. How can you share it? With us? With you? With the industry? Whoever? Like, there is a lot of decisions that the employee can take, him or herself. And let me finish with that example. I received a call of someone that said, hey, I heard you're running a female empowerment, you're a partner in a female empowerment initiative. And the idea is basically just bringing female employees together and talk about their challenges and what they can do. So they form a stronger opinion on the change that is needed and, you know, synergize together. And I said, it's quite simple. It's a table and it's a 1 hour lunch break. Yeah, that's the setup. And I can connect you with that person, but that's the setup. And there is no legitimated budget needed, order needed. If you want to see something happen, employees will do that. And if they don't, then it might be not their topic that matter. I'm very fine with that. Yeah? But there is a certain commitment I'm willed as leader to give them. This is my attention and my full support to evaluate with them. How does that work out? How can we make that contribution towards all three stakeholders? The organization, like the company, you yourself, and the people you want to impact. And if you have a yes on all three, then it's a business case for the company. And if not, then you have to decide this is not scope of our job field. And I really think it doesn't take a lot of knowledge. It's really more attention that you spend to people. If you want to inspire people indirect, stand up. Think for yourself, what is your topic that matters? What gives you goosebumps? And that's sometimes not project management, and that's sometimes not design or coding. That's sometimes something very off your job profile. And then have a look where does that impact your daily job? Because if I'm a freak of, I like scribbling, you will find that everywhere. I'm great in PowerPoint scribbling. I'm great in facilitation because I love to do something with my hands, too much energy. So once you know what you really like, search it in your job. Think of how can I bring it in. As examples, I know people who love to make other people happy. Yeah? Go at work, make somebody happy. Service industry. I know people who love to solve problems. Go at work, solve problems, be careful and focused. Otherwise, it gets a full-time job. If you love to, you know, calm people down and give it a bit more that step back, as I perceived Stoyan in our meeting at that time, do that. Nobody can hold you back. And if you do that, people will imitate that. And then you are, Stoyan, as you said before, somehow different. Yeah. And that's interesting. And that gains
nobody's
relevance.
Like you. Nobody's yeah. like you. You're unique. You're yeah. unique because nobody has this unique combination of your strengths, your passions, the things you care about in this specific way that you do. And even if you take it for granted, sometimes we do that, you have to appreciate it more. Oh, I'm a marketer, but you know what? This thing that I do as a hobby, if I bring it into my marketing job, that will make me a unique marketer. And if I discover and explore all these things instead of taking it for granted, actually utilize them, that will make me unique. I'll be a great value creator. And by the way, here I want to give credit to Luisa, because we couldn't before. She's been really engaged. So this is Luisa. Great to hear from you. Long time no see. We've been working together nearly 10 years ago in Denmark. And she has another comment. By working on discovering your authentic self, I think you'll automatically be doing it and won't be able to help it. You'll find a way without looking. And then she says, such a great talk. And she's grateful. We're grateful for having you here, Luisa. And just to wrap up this conversation, Martin, I think it will be helpful for people to also hear about your journey. And by the way, everybody should need to go to LinkedIn and follow Martin there. Like, go find him. That guy is a value creator. He's posting so much content that's actually valuable, thought-provoking. But you're gaining momentum being a visible leader yourself, Martin. What were your biggest struggles on the way when you were starting on this journey?
Where shall I start? I made all the mistakes I'm talking about. So adding to our conversation before, yes, you are this unique person and you should go out and don't forget to be humble. Yeah, and don't forget to not know it all and learn constantly. I think for me, the toughest thing is I created the Visible Leader brand for 9 years. Yeah, so I had a massive holding back. I launched 8 other initiatives in the meantime. I supported more than 30 partners building their brand, building their networks, global ecosystems, because I thought I'm not ready to bring it on the point. And thanks to my wife and a lot of great colleagues around me, I got that butt kick that said, hey, Martin, it becomes a running joke, and fair enough. Yeah, I thought that having the right answer is so much more important than getting in contact with the people. And that's something I really want to send a warm greeting to everyone who's out there and searches for his or her thing. Yeah, and doing courses, trying different things. Stoyan, I was manager of a global tattoo artist who tattooed Kid Rock. Yeah, I was running an advertising agency in 40 countries in the world. I worked with unemployed people as communication trainer. I'm a certified massage therapist. I was not the best one, but I did that. I was leading a health and recovery organization with more than 200 years of legacy in Graz for a year. I invested in a lot of weird businesses with money and mentally, yeah, because I believed in it. And one thing I learned is that people who are successful dare to put their hands in the dirt and do something. And while I never kept still, I protected the one thing that is really important for me, and that is to help people to be seen for how great they are and how cool they are. And that has a lot to do with my pain and with how I grew up. And I always say this is not a white collar project. Yeah, I come from a working class background. My mom had 7 jobs when I was a small child. I became dad with 20. Yeah, so there is no excuse that you cannot apply that and reach everything. And I have a very simple credo that means reach for the Champions League. It's not a lot more effort to come in the highest class. You just need to keep on it and be honest to yourself. So the biggest struggle for me for sure is sharing that vulnerability. That makes me flattering. Yeah, that makes me, oh my God, what will other people think? And I love to use visibility to heal that a bit now, because in podcasts, there is no only the business bullshit. And I'm happy to share that. And I'm so thankful for doing that with people, Stoyan, like you, that, you know, blasted me with the open-heartedness, with this generosity that I see everywhere when you meet people who are, you know, in contact with their topics that matters. And that gives me the inner safety to just share that without any holding back. And I think that's important. We all need that now in the world. And I need that as well.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate your vulnerability and opening up, sharing. I'm sure that it will resonate with a lot of people out there, because for those of us who have been on the journey a bit longer, being a little bit more
public personas, you know, sharing, posting in different kind of formats and shapes, like be it on LinkedIn, from the stage and podcast. I had this understanding in myself previously that these type of people, they have it figured out. They overcame their difficulties and now it is all amazing. And the truth is, you know, you wake up some days and it's like, oh my God, I'm such an imposter. Why should people listen to me at all? You know, but then again, you do it. You do it. You show up and you do it. And it's like, oh, you know, it's not that bad. You know, actually, a lot of people resonate with it. So I mean, we're all human. We're all trying to figure it out. So, you know, if you can just kind of wrap up this episode with a final message to those people listening right now who probably have a lot of value to give, but they maybe don't see it. Maybe they're afraid. Maybe they're in doubt. What if I fail? What if it's not good enough? What if I'm not ready? What would be your message to them?
Stojan, let's do an experiment. Everybody who hears that and have the feeling I have something valuable to share, text Stojan and me. I'm mostly on LinkedIn. I think Stojan is on a lot of more channels. Tag us. I'm going to protect you personally to everybody who has an opinion and is not sitting on the table of doers. Okay? And everybody who gives you feedback, who's doing something themselves, will be a valuable source for you to learn something. So if you want, if you waited for a sign like me, I waited years. Yeah, I had like 12 different versions of my website. Launch it today. Send it to Stojan and me. I'm happy to promote it. And I don't know, Stojan, about you, but I'm happy to advocate everyone who thinks this is a good sign. Let's do it, man.
Let's do it. Hey, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the best way to reach me as well. Send me a DM. Send me a message. Same like Martin. I think it took me more than a year to make my first professional Facebook post, like to launch my page, right? Like, oh my God, who am I? Why should I do it? And it took me close to 2 years to do my first public performance and do my first workshop. I knew what the workshop is about. I had the structure. I had all the material. Close to 2 years before I finally managed to, with a little extra help. In fact, one of my coaching clients pushed me and gave me 30 days and said, you gotta do your first workshop. So it could be scary, but after you do it, oh my God, it's just the feeling is. So yep, let's do it. Let's do it, guys.
And here's the truth. It's not about Facebook. It's not about this stage. It's not about the audience. It's about the value you can create by sharing your knowledge. Okay? It's forget all the techniques. It's not about that. And we
it's
all believe
it's not about you. Yeah. It's not about you. I mean, yeah. That's it. What would people think about me? How would I, like, who cares, man? It's not about you. It's maybe with this one post you make on LinkedIn, two people will read it, they'll get inspired, and something will happen for them. So get over yourself and take some action. Love it. Love it. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. If you found this episode to be valuable, make sure to share it with somebody. This is episode 175, which means that there's 174 more episodes of Productivity Mastery. Make sure to check it out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And finally, Martin, how could people get in touch with you and how can you help them to be a more visible leader?
Let's connect on LinkedIn. I think this is my sending channel. If you have the feeling you want to get in touch about the coaching topic, there is a website, visible-leader.com. Feel free to ping me. There is a short questionnaire, so I'm not talking to everyone. I'm only talking to people who are willing to share something from them. So it's about, what's your superpower? What do you want to achieve? And if you put yourself in, share that with me, I'm coming back to you and we have a conversation about how I can support. Most of all, just do it. Just take that idea. If you think it's worth to turn something valuable out, post other people who are great value contributors, post people who inspire you, share stuff that nobody sees. I want to make a reach out. There is a YouTube artist, Xavier B, Have a look on that. It's coming from Jamaica. It's a keyboard player with, I don't know, not a lot of viewers, but every time I see him, I really get excited because he just stands with a keyboard on a muddy street in the middle of the busy, and there is no insinuation. This is just joy doing music. And I think that's the kind of things I personally want to amplify, because they have this easiness of, you don't have to plan it, structure it, construct it, just do it. Yeah. And have a look at Xavier B. Nice greetings to him. And thanks so much, Stoyan, for the invite.
Thanks for being with us, Martin. And those of you who are with us to the end of the episode, let us know what you feel about it. Now, post a comment on LinkedIn. Let us know what was one idea that resonated with you. Let's connect. Let's be more visible leaders. Have a great day, and let's keep performing.
Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to subscribe to my monthly newsletter by visiting stoyanyankov.com, and also learn about the Perform methodology and the Perform book, as well as our various personal and team coaching offers. Stay tuned and keep performing.